If you guys don't know, I wasn't here last week. I was in Colorado visiting, and I got to do a lot of fun things. I have a ton of pictures. I can show them to you afterwards. But one of the most exciting things, if you guys may not know this about me, but I love to bowl. Like, bowling is one of my biggest hobbies. I joke with people all the time and tell them that I have the three most expensive hobbies in the world: bowling, shooting, and fishing. And so one of the things I got to do while I was in Colorado this summer, or this last week, they had a PBA, Professional Bowlers League, tournament going on there, and I got to go and do a pro-am event and bowl with some of the professional bowlers and kind of just chat with them. It was really fun to get to hear their stories and kind of learn about how to be better at bowling from the people that were amazing. They were incredible. I thought I would maybe go there and look like I somewhat knew what I was doing, and when I got there and bowled with them, I looked like I absolutely had no clue. And so that was quite the humbling experience this week. But another thing I got to do there was kind of try to figure out the direction that I want to go for our next series as a church. I got to sit down with several of my friends who are pastors out in Colorado, and we just kind of had a powwow because they were all looking for, hey, we're about to transition into a new series. And I was like, man, that's what we're doing at Mansfield. And so we sat down and had a couple hour conversation at a coffee shop, and we're just kind of bouncing ideas off. And one of the things that I had suggested was just teaching through the parables of Jesus. And in fact, some of my friends that are in bigger churches in Colorado love that idea so much, they're stealing it from me. And so, no, as we're walking through this series, there's several other churches in the Colorado Springs area that will be walking through the same series. Sort of along with that idea, I called at least one of the eldership team here. I talked to Brother Wayne, and he was on board for this series for the foreseeable future, at least the next few. I think we could honestly do this for like half a year just through one of the Gospels. I don't think we'll go that long, but that's kind of the direction that we're going to take. And so we're going to be taking the next few weeks, maybe the next month, kind of driving through the parables of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, looking specifically through the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke is one of my personal favorite Gospels. I have studied Luke a lot. I'm really familiar with Luke, and so this is the one I'm a little more comfortable with from a preaching standpoint. And I just love the focus of Luke. If you guys don't know, each kind of gospel has their own focus. And Luke's focus, if you look at the book of Luke as a whole, seems to be on the marginalized, the people that are treated less than, the people that are exiled, the people that aren't favored in the eyes of the reader. And so I think that's why I love Luke so much. And so we're going to be walking through the Gospel of Luke, through the parables of Jesus, over the next few weeks. And I think there's no better parable to start with than the sower in Luke 8. So that's where we're going to be at this morning. And Luke begins this story. It's actually Jesus. Luke is paraphrasing Jesus talking to people, to hearers of the Christian faith, people that maybe hadn't really heard the gospel. This might be the first time that they're hearing the gospel message, and Luke is sharing what Jesus has said to them. And Jesus says this, beginning in verse 1. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And some women who have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathered, And people from town after town came to him. He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to the secrets to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This is like monumental, church, this parable, because this is the only one in the entire gospel that Jesus explains. Put that into perspective. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, there's something like 40 parables that Jesus teaches in. In the whole synopsis of the scriptures, there's something like 100 parables that Jesus teaches in, and this is the only one of any of the gospels that he takes the time to lay out. But I think it's first important to understand why Jesus teaches in parables. And I really think there's two reasons. The first is Jesus lays it out clearly that we cannot fully understand the kingdom of heaven. And so he teaches in parables to try to make it comprehensible for us so that we can understand what he's trying to teach. And I think the second reason is because when Jesus teaches in parables, when Jesus teaches us in a way that we have to think about what he's actually saying, that gives room for the gospel to take root in our lives. I think about this in the context of learning in a classroom. If somebody just gave me the answer to a math problem, I wouldn't want to work to try to solve it. But if you give me the equation and say, find this answer with the answer kind of in the back of the book, but I actually have to work to get to that answer, I'm more satisfied, I'm more hungry to learn. I take root of how to do that problem and add it to my life. So we get this kind of clear implication of why Jesus would teach us in a parable, but the question this morning is, which soil are you? Which soil, if you were to plant yourself in a so to say potting thing or a potting box or a plant, which soil would you be? The first soil, you know, the one with rocks that's hard to till and plant, I think honestly that's where a majority of the church is today. See, most of the church that we come in contact with today, people that have left the church, have been hurt by the church, has been hurt by someone in the church and walks away, their heart becomes hard. They no longer are receptive to the gospel message. They're no longer receptive to the community, the body of believers. In church, I think that's where a lot of the older church is now today. I talk about this a lot, but man, I was driving out to Kansas and I saw all of these signs that along the interstate, just these churches had put up that said gay marriage is wrong and all of these hateful messages. And, you know, I think that I can get behind that sentiment. I don't think the Bible condones gay marriage. I don't think the Bible condones two homosexual people to be married or in relationship with one another, but I don't think the Bible condones for us to put a sign on the side of the highway that says, you're not even allowed to think about this. You're not allowed to even think about the possibility of gay marriage, and if you do, we so much disagree with it that we're going to tell you that you're never welcome in our church. Because, church, that's what we do when we place a sign like that on the side of the highway. Anytime someone that's ever struggled with homosexuality, anyone that's ever in the actions of homosexuality at the time, will see that sign and say, okay, they don't welcome me in their church. Those Christians are just full of a bunch of people that hate people like me. See, when we place things like that, we automatically stop people in the first soil. We never allow them to be tilled, to be cultivated, to move forward. And that's really what Jesus is saying here. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite writers. He's a Christian apologist. If you're not familiar with any of his works, you should really look to what he says. But he has this to say when referring to this topic in one of my favorite books, Mere Christianity. He said, "Putting on Christ is not one among many jobs a Christian has to do." Put this into perspective. Putting on Christ, tilling your soil, is not one among many jobs a Christian has to do. It's just not one thing on the checklist. He goes on to say, and it is not some sort of special exercise for the top class. It is the whole of Christianity. Christianity offers nothing else at all. This quote really resonates with me. I was thinking about it in terms of like, man, we really want to be the same as God. It's been there since the fall. You know, the Tower of Babel, we wanted to get to God. We wanted to be the same as God. And that's not what Christ is calling us to do. See, we get some several aspects of these soils. The first soil was a hard ground with no possibility for seed to grow. I don't know if you have people like this in your life, but man, they are hard to get along with. They're hard to have conversations with because they won't even listen to what you're saying. I don't know why I did this. Actually, I do know. It was for an assignment, but one of my professors challenged us to get on one of the atheist pages on the internet for a digital media class I'm taking, and man, those people are hard soil. I don't think you could even put water on there and be able to begin to work that soil. Their hearts are so hard that they have no room to even begin to see the gospel. But I think there's a thought here that I came to when talking to these people. It won't be easy, but the work is worth it in the end. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take effort on our part. But I think eventually their heart will begin to change. If you put enough nutrients and water in the ground and do enough tilling, eventually the ground is going to become soft. And then we get the second soil that Jesus is describing, the second characteristic of a Christian, another type of Christian. And it says, the soil that produced plants, but they withered away because they had no moisture. These are the people that we introduce the gospel to, but we fail to actually teach the scriptures. I think about these great evangelists like Billy Graham, and I'm sure you guys are really familiar with Billy Graham. He's a little bit before my time, but a lot of people in my life that are kind of my heroes of faith that talk to me really look up to Billy Graham. And one of the things Billy Graham did was anytime he would go into a town for a crusade, he would contact all of the local churches, and he would say, you know, my job is to expose people to the gospel. Your job is to walk them along. And I think sometimes, at least I know I'm guilty of this, you'll meet someone and you'll get an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. and you'll say, hey, this is the God I follow. You should follow him. And maybe they make that decision. And then that's the end of the conversation. Like, I don't know if you guys have been to a big church, but I worked in a big church this summer, and they did a really good job about this. I don't have anything bad to say about them, but I've seen it in other big churches. Man, they're fired up. They walk you through the baptism class to get you to a point of baptism, and then they pull you out of the water and set you in the congregation, and then it's on to the next person that's getting baptized. There's no classes to help these people after they've been baptized. It's sort of like a baptism assembly line. Let's get you to the point of baptism and then let you walk out in the world. And man, that is a dangerous place to be, church, because a lot of these people, once they accept Christ, they fall right back into being the hardened soil because they don't have people helping them along the journey. They lack spiritual disciplines. They don't have these spiritual disciplines in their lives. And so if I can encourage you in one way is to look for these people in your lives and walk with them. Encourage them along the path. Keep tilling that soil because the hard ground's already been broken. So begin to water that soil. And the third soil Jesus describes here is he gives us the soil that produced plants that grew up amongst the thorns and eventually got choked out. This is the first example of good soil because it's producing plants, it's producing life, it's producing fruit. The seeds were able to grow because the work had been done. The ground is tilled, it's been watered, the soil is good. The heart change had happened, the lifestyle change yet had not happened. These are the people that claim that they love Jesus, go to church on Sunday, but fail to live their lives on a weekly basis that they actually love Jesus. If I'm being honest, church, when I was in the military, this was me a lot of the times. I was known as the Christian guy at work. I went to church on Sundays, but oh, did I struggle with this idea. I was still hanging out with my buddies, doing things that I shouldn't have, not living the Christian life. I'll tell you, when I came to Ozark Christian College, when I got plugged in with that community, and I made that jump from the third soil to the last soil Jesus is talking about, it was truly transformational in my life. As we look at the fourth soil, this is what Jesus says, the soil that the seed fell on and produced 100-fold. See, this is the soil that's fertile. I don't know if you guys probably know this, but one of the things I really like about this idea is 100, it says it produces 100-fold. I don't know if you guys have ever been on a crop farm that produced 100-fold. I don't think I ever have, but that is truly remarkable. It produced 100-fold. These are the people that are not only healthy, but leading the other soils to be more like them. See, they set it such an example that the other soils, the other people, want to be watered and tilled to look like them. One of the things that a person really close to me, in fact, the president of Ozark Christian College, Matt Proctor, had told me one time, and I've really kind of held to this, and I think it would be helpful for you guys, so I want to share it with you this morning, was to open up to the first page of your Bible and write names of people that have impacted your life or your ministry over the years. And so if you open up my Bible, you're going to find names like Wayne Mallow and Don Hudson. These people have really challenged me to grow in my ministry, both here at Mansfield Christian Church and at other places, you're going to find names like Jim Wright, who's a military pastor at Fort Hood doing great things for the kingdom of heaven. You're going to find names like Cody Gerke, who was my youth pastor in high school that really put the fire for ministry in my life. You're going to find names like Gerald Griffin, who's a professor at Ozark Christian College, who has really challenged me to think about the way that I look at the gospel and how to share it to others. You're going to find names like Braden Hufford, who's the young man, the first young man I got to baptize, and see the joy, see the example of him going from the first seed to the fourth seed. And man, is that beautiful and challenging and just an unbelievable experience when you get to walk along someone and water and till the soil and you get to see it begin to produce crop. And something that I regularly do is pray over these names. And so I would encourage you to do the same thing this week. Maybe open the first page of your Bible and write some names in there. And as you're praying, maybe once a week, you just flip open that book and look at those names and pray over a couple of those names every single week. But kind of as we close out this morning, I think there's some clear applications on this thought. How do we begin to look more like the best soil, the fourth soil that Jesus describes, and less like the other three? And the first is it starts with spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. By that I mean prayer, praying regularly. It's interesting whenever I go home because my parents really aren't Christians. My mom grew up in the church. My dad has not ever really grown up in the church. And so they're not Christians. But one of the things they always ask me to do every meal is to pray before the meal. Can you pray? You're the Bible college student. You're the pastor. Can you pray for a meal? And man, it's humbling to look at it this morning just saying like, oh man, you guys are the first soil, but I'm going to keep watering and cultivating you to get you to look more like the fourth. And I think the second way is an accountability partner of some type, just someone that can hold you accountable for the way that you're living your life. If you guys don't know, Dylan and I do this for each other. In fact, I talked to him for about an hour yesterday, and we were just kind of talking about what's going on in our lives and ways that we could pray for each other and kind of hold each other accountable. And so that's been really encouraging and helpful for me. The third way, daily reading your Bible, being rooted in the Scripture. Because a seed can't grow without the necessary ingredients being water, sunlight, good soil. In order for us to have those things, we need to have the gospel at the center of our lives. It needs to be the soil that we're trying to plant in. And for us to have it be the soil, we need to actually know what it says. And I think the last kind of place that it starts is commitment to the faith. And this is the shift that I was talking about from wearing your Sunday clothes on Sunday morning and doing whatever you want during the week. It's that commitment daily to the gospel message. And I think there's one more thing here that we can take away, and that's as a church, and this is a challenge for all of you, a challenge for me, we need to be better about helping others grow with us. This starts with being open and more vulnerable. This is something that I struggle with because I don't like to let people in on my life to an extent. I've been getting better at this through my time at Ozark, but I think this is a story for a lot of the church. We don't like to let people in on the things that are going maybe not perfect in our life because it's messy and it makes us not look as good, and we want this this image of us being the fourth soil all the time, when really maybe we're not. And so that's the first kind of takeaway: be more open and vulnerable with those around you. And just look for the people that are new in the faith and walk alongside them. Look for the people, maybe not to an extent to where we need to be so concerned all the time with just converting more Christians. Maybe find someone that's been converted recently and say, how can I walk with you to encourage you, to help you get better along in your relationship with Christ? And I think we, along with that, when we build that type of relationship with others, that relationship begins to reflect our relationship with Christ. And so as we love and nurture and care for others, other people are going to see, oh, Christ loves and nurtures and cares for him, and I want that in my life. And the third kind of thing to take away here is, and I'm not accusing any of you of this, so don't hear me as saying this, but sometimes, and I think even myself I'm guilty of this, we think because we've been walking with Christ for such a long time, we've got all the answers. We have no room for growth. We're completely arrogant. And I'm not accusing you of any of this, but I think sometimes I can be guilty of this. And it's always funny, because every time I think, oh yeah, I know quite a bit about this passage I'm going to preach on, I just read it and study it and I learn something and I'm like, oh man, God, how wrong was I? God's just showing me something new in this place. And so I encourage you to just be hungry to grow, hungry to learn all the time, be willing to be tilled and planted on all the time. Just because you're the fourth seed in producing crop doesn't mean that you don't still need nourishment to grow. Next, be willing to sow seed. When crops grow, they put out more seed, they produce more crops. And so even if you're that crop that's producing 100-fold right now, you still need to be willing to sow seed to grow the next crop that's going to produce 100-fold. And lastly, just find areas to serve in that are going to help produce more crops for the kingdom of God. Find areas that you can help, that maybe your strong suit, to help others grow, to encourage others, to bring them into the kingdom of God with open arms and open hearts. And just love people. Because essentially the fourth soil that Jesus was talking about is just the crop that produces 100-fold is just a person that's so in love with God that he just loves all of God's creation. And so if we want to be a crop of 100-fold, I think we have to live by the motto, love God and love people. And so I want to leave you with that this morning by encouraging you this week to just go out and love God and love people.